Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We're into the bye week here in our Wise Conversations, of course, brought to you by our friends at Wise Markets. We appreciate their sponsorship and appreciate you rounding up this month. And certainly for the paralyzed veterans of America, we'll be talking to Ron Bonacci from Wise Markets. Luke is out in Owings Mills keeping things straight with the Ravens. It's all brought to you by our friends at Royal Farms, Real Fresh, Real Fast. We'll be getting back to that, back to sports. But so much going on politically, so much going on in Washington, D.C. Don Mohler's usually by my side for some of these conversations. Certainly has been by my side with Dr. Curtinitis from CCBC and my longtime, we've gone through different name changes since I was at Dundalk Community College, but it's always great to have Dr. Sandra Curtinitis on to talk about community college. And, you know, we've been wanting to have you on through the course of the summer. We talked about changes and promises, or at least ideas by Joe Biden and through Congress and where we are, but certainly this is a different kind of week to have you on, because I think we had different kinds of hopes for what was going to happen from a governmental level for community colleges here moving forward.
We had such great hopes that the Build Back Better bill would in fact enable us to build back better across the country at the 1,000 community colleges. I mean, building back better from being in a pandemic trough. But we were so excited about the possibility of having an America's College Promise all across the nation. And it's, yes, it's something of a disappointment. We understand politics, but I tell you what, I think it would have been, or still maybe would be, a stroke of political genius to actually make it possible for community colleges across the country to educate and train the students that often the neediest, often the most deserving, to give the kind of skills that would enable them not only to get a job, to support their families, et cetera, but to move on to a better job and career. Now that we're aware that it is not going forward within this cycle, I'm going to do my darndest to stay in touch with some people I know who could help influence keeping this on the front burner and not the back burner.
What led you to community college as a career? And you've been at it so long. I can only go through my own experience of being at Dundalk, right? I grew up at Colgate Elementary. We're about to cut the ribbon there 2 weeks from now. Johnny O tells me he'll have me back over in Dundalk. I went to Hollibird. I went to Dundalk. And from the minute I went to Dundalk, there was, you might want to go to Southeast Vocational School. I had looked into laying bricks and being a drafting person. Sure. My father worked at The Point, you know. So community college was always in my mind's eye. It was something older brothers did, people in the neighborhood. Certainly at that point, many adults, you know, real grown-ups, people like in their 30s and 40s were going to community college at night in my neighborhood. I don't know of the robustness of had I grown up in Tampa, Florida, or Dallas, Texas, or Phoenix, Arizona, or Boise, Idaho, what the community college would have looked like. I only know of a robust one. And most of my lifetime, whether it was when I was young and single in my 20s, dating girls who were studying to be nurses at Essex Community College, or meeting like-minded people at my own university, even when I went to the University of Baltimore later on. Across the country, if I'm in Iowa or Nebraska or places where that are maybe more red than purple or blue, what does the state of community college look like? Not in here, where I think we all have some aorta or at least a tentacle to lots of people around us who have benefited from our community colleges throughout this area in Baltimore. But I don't know of how and the history of it in other places where it wouldn't be as popular as it may be here.
Let me just say this, you know, Baltimore County, the whole Baltimore region, in fact, the whole state of Maryland is better because of CCBC and our 15 community college colleagues. But let me just focus on the Community College of Baltimore County. You know, we serve on average a little less last year because of the pandemic, but we serve 50, 60,000 students a year. And the people that we serve are the ones who actually become the accountants, the plumbers, the welders, the nurses. In other words, we have a book of business that actually, because We're an open door institution. Anyone with a high school diploma or its equivalency, a GED, one of the other exams that provide admission, but we're able to bring people in through our open door and point them to a number of different hallways. It depends. I mean, you mentioned you thought you might want to be a bricklayer. Well, you want to be a bricklayer, we can help you. You want to be a doctor, we can help you. You want to be a teacher, you want to be a dancer, you want to be a poet. You know,
Dr. K, I'll tell you, I thought I was going to be a sports writer, and I was a sports writer at the time, and I thought there would be a newspaper forever. And, you know, as I think, yes. and think about Ted right. Venatoulis and his contributions, yes. As we you know, paid homage to him this week and talked about him a little bit, I remember taking a real estate class with friends of mine that are still selling real estate in my building, Angel sure. Stevens and Susan George yeah. is my instructor back at Dundalk yeah. Community College. So there were all, it was truly a cross section at the time I was there. And we're going back to the late 80s, early 90s now, but it was a cross section of people that had dreams. It was a place to come every day to figure out the next thing you were going to do with your life that was going to be productive.
Yeah. See, that's the real disappointment in the matter of dropping America's College Promise from the Biden bill. Because if you really think about it, 95% of our graduates, and I dare say this is true not just across the state but across the country, 95% of our graduates will remain to live and work right in their communities. That means they get a job, they buy houses, they pay taxes, they send their kids to local schools, they join the PTA, they coach the soccer teams. Once you remove the impetus of a free community college tuition out of the bill, once you remove that, you may not think of it this way, but you're really striking a blow what I would say is the economic well-being of communities, of regions, of states, and ultimately to our nation. That's what community colleges do. I mean, every year we educate maybe, I don't know, 10 million people. And CCBC, through the work that we do, we make sure that about 13,000 of our 50 or 60,000 students will leave us at the end of the year with something significant to show, either a degree so that they can transfer into a four-year school and finish a higher level degree, go directly into the workplace with a short-term credential. I mean, the continuum of short range to long term, all the way up to bachelor's, master's, and PhD, we're the stepping stone to that. It's an amazing thing to think about what we give to our communities and what we could give to our communities if, in fact, we had a national College Promise program. I think I mentioned when we spoke once before about CCBC's own experiment over the past year and into this year with our tuition-free program. And it was so successful that last year, 84% of all of our students in our credit programs, our non-credit programs, our short-term, our long-term, 84% of our students received either full or partial scholarship funds to attend CCBC. Now,
where does that money come from? That's a huge number, 84%.
It sure is.
Well, something that wasn't full, you have to pay your own way. You're getting some sort of assistance. And right. I remember I got employer assistance when I worked mm-hmm. at the Sun for going to school. They wanted me sure. to be better educated, and they wanted to invest in me back in 1988, yep. 89.
So what we did, and we're still doing it, is we took every penny we could find and put it into one pot. Now, that meant Pell. It meant other federal scholarships. It meant tuition remission programs. It meant college money. It meant foundation money. It meant state scholarship. Every penny we could find, we put it into one pot, and then we doled it out. We had about $35 million last year. We may have even had a little more than that this year because we had stimulus money as well. And the stimulus money dries up by mid-2023. So we can't depend on continuing tuition free, perhaps as fully as we did. But I'm not sure that maybe we won't be able to find a way. But when I said before, we were disappointed that the nation's college promise won't let us continue with what we were able not only to start, but to prove that it works. You know, I've bragged a little bit from time to time, probably in one of our conversations, that last year with our tuition-free program and with the college staying open as we did, we're one of the few community colleges probably in the whole nation that did not see a decline in credit enrollment. In fact, we grew ours by an additional 3%. So we hit our mark 100%, and then we added another 3%. I know it works. I know it would be a godsend to families that maybe can send their children, or maybe, you know, the moms and dads come, but they can take one class or two classes. We've got a model. We put a model in place that shows that America's College Promise would be a powerful incentive to largely middle class, lower class. You know, we serve everybody. I mean, in a community college classroom right now, you can find a single mom and a doctor's son. That's true.
That's never changed, right? That's something I would recognize 30 years later, right?
Yes, you would. Yeah.
Except I'd be the old guy now.
Yes, you would be. But you still have long hair.
Dr. Sandra Curtin, no, this is new. I didn't have long hair the last time we got together. This is real.
No,
this is COVID hair. Dr. Sandra Curtinitis here. It goes back to my college days. I think my hair may have been a little long in Dundalk Community College back in the days. She has run how many years now at the Community College of Baltimore County, but through the name changes and whatnot. It's been a long
time. I'm in my 17th year at the Community College of Baltimore County.
And attracting you to it, what makes a community college different than they would say university or going off to school or any of those things that everybody would dream about doing? But whether it's Catonsville, whether it's Dundalk, Essex, wherever it would be around the Beltway, my thought about community college was that it was a door open for literally anybody. And I would think that there's a part of being at Harvard or being even at the University of Maryland, even Towson, that there is a different bar to entry that everyone, it's so inclusive, I would say, for where you were two decades ago to join.
Yeah. Well, let me just say, when I first became a community college professor, it wasn't because I felt some kinship with the community college mission. It was solely because I was getting married and needed a job. And I thought that maybe Harvard or William and Mary would discover me. And they didn't. The only job offer I got was one that I got quite by accident at a community college, Prince George's Community College. So I went there, and after about 5 years, I think it was in my blood. I often say to our people, you know, if you are a community college professional, you come here and you stay, it's like being a social worker. I mean, that's how committed you get to serving the population that we serve. We give opportunity to so many people who would never, ever be able to set foot into a Harvard classroom or even a Towson classroom. I mean, it's not that they aren't bright. It's not that they aren't energetic. It's often because of the sort of economic challenges that so many students face. So, you know, we've got this little mantra that our four-year college presidents don't like very much, but we say, come here and spend $4,000 a year and then go anywhere you want and spend $20,000, $30,000, $50,000, $80,000 a year. You know, that's the model we use.
And so much is what you put back into it from your investment standpoint. You know,
sure.
I remember many times being at the student union down at Dundalk Community College, putting in extra hours and library time and time there that you wanted to be with other people. That I think I've said this to you before, because I was so young. I graduated from high school when I was 16. So I was really supremely young, and going to community college was the perfect buffer for me to have the freedom of, hey, I don't have a teacher telling me I can't chew gum or I can't do this, or you know, the things that you think about when you're young. But also, I had students of mine parents in my classroom from Dundalk High School that I was going to school with there to this day. I can tell you their names, the Gutierrez family, the Beavers family, with Sasha Beavers' mom in my philosophy classes. And it was community. I mean, literally the meaning of the word community, it was all walks of life. And I found that to be a whole lot different. No disrespect to the University of Baltimore, but I didn't feel the sense of community there. I felt very business, like you better get your grades done and get out. More like the real world, where Dundalk Community College for me, everybody there was designed to help me get that AA that I needed to get to UB, to get to the ABC, to get the, you know, to get the BS so I could get the JOB.
Right. Yeah. Yep. Yep.
But I have such fond memories of that. So that's why every time I have you on, it's very warm for me, because I know what you're talking about. And I think sending someone like you down to Congress and say, why don't you sit here and tell everyone what a community college, what the value of it is in our community. And I think 20 minutes of your time over 20 years would maybe make these folks think differently about giving money away and instead seeding a community, which is what I believe we were going to do with this administration, quite frankly.
Well, I've been to the White House a number of times as part of the educational summits that President Obama had and President Trump. Biden hasn't been in there long enough, I think, to actually do this kind of thing. But everything you've said is true. You know, our average age this year is 34. So think about what that says about who's sitting in our classrooms. Everyone from age 14, a freshman in high school taking a college course, all the way up to probably 80, somebody, you know, who wants to learn how to make jewelry or do genealogy or something like that.
There was a box that said personal enrichment.
Yes, that's right. That's what it is, right? Yeah.
Well, I've always enjoyed my visits with you. I'm sorry. So for this money, if it happens, taxes go up, you know, all the, I speak to people on both sides of the aisle. What would that have meant in the case of you from a financial standpoint, teachers, students, programs? What would that dream of having that money and what does it mean that we don't have it? So give me the good and the bad for this.
Well, look, the promise of a promise scholarship would have meant opportunity for so many more people. It would have meant that students who otherwise would take one course at a time, two courses at a time, could attend full time. You know, we have the Baltimore County Promise Scholarship and we have the Maryland Promise Scholarship, both of which enable students to just sign up, take a full schedule, finish in 2 years, move on to the university, where, by the way, community college students, graduates do as well or better than native freshmen who enter at our four-year partners. Or it would have meant going directly into a job. And look, I think we have over 100 degree programs and just hundreds of short-term certifications. So if you think about the treasure trove that this college represents for the Baltimore County region and indeed for the state of Maryland, that would have been such an investment that our political colleagues could have made in the well-being of communities all across the country. It's, you know, maybe it will still happen, but we're not going to count on that. Now we're going to move forward, making sure that we can do as best we can to retain our tuition-free approach to enabling students to come here and study full-time if they can and find a way to a next level of opportunity. You know, I'm not just blowing smoke here. I mean, the reality of what we see every year, 13,000 out of 50 or 60,000 students who achieve something important to them and their families. And so back to the word you were citing before, community, that community is our first name. We are, you know, by, for, and about community and enabling community. Community College of Baltimore County is a pretty special place. And it's really, I mean, its capacity to assist our county to do what needs to be done is not quite infinite, but it certainly comes close to that.
well, I don't have the certificate on the wall anymore. I took that down and, you know, with the other diplomas and whatnot. But I certainly have always fond memories. Great having you on. It makes me think back to parking the car, walking to the union, the teachers I met, the people that have stayed with me my whole life, like my partner, Tom Kapp, who was a health professor at Dundalk Community College back in 1985 when I found him. So Dr. Curtinitis, it's always great to visit with you. I know that every time I drive over to Moeller's place down Caton, I honk the horn, and over at Essex Community College, where I used to live off King Avenue, and of course Delvale Avenue, over where I spent my formative years. It made me turn. And I always think to myself, if it all falls apart here, I'm gonna call Dr. K and I'll reenlist and I'll figure out how to do something else with my life. How about that?
You got it. We'll help you. We're there.
I know you will.
We're here for you.
Dr. Sandra Curtinitis is here from Community College, Baltimore County. Always a great visit. Always a great guest. Usually with Don Moeller. Don's going to be very upset that I boxed him out on this because I know how fond he is.
Well, please give him my regards.
Next time I'll bring the whole fire department. Okay. We'll just get the paramedics. Dr. Curtinitis is joining us here from Community College, Baltimore. Not on the main branch. She's been moving around from campus to campus.
I'm at Dundalk today.
Well, then you were at the A team then. That you're at the mothership, as I would say, down on Delville Avenue. Stop by and say hello to our friend. I'm wearing the Costa shirt. Perfect. Then, right? Absolutely. Okay. It's crab season. Maryland Crab Cake Tour is coming back this week out and making it happen on Friday. We're going to be at Silver Spring Mining Company in White Marsh on Friday. It's all presented by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. Let yourself play. We're going to be playing each and every Friday and some Wednesdays because of my back ailment. We're going to do some make goods. We're going to do some charity stuff around the holidays, all presented by the Maryland Lottery, the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. I am Nestor on behalf of our friends at Community College of Baltimore County. We never stop talking. Baltimore positive.